Thank you, Matt Cole. Praise God. It was great because me, Matt, Brendan, and Nate Clock went to a golf tournament this weekend. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I was in my first golf tournament in my life. There's a reason why it's my first golf tournament of my life, because there's people who golf and then there's golfers. Who are the people who golf? And then who are the actual golfers? I'm one who just says, are you a golfer? No, I just golf, compared to people who like take golf serious. I'm not the dude who takes golf serious, right? But I got to tell you, it was through Family Life Network. We were honored to go be a part of their fundraiser. It was a golf tournament. The reason we were there, they asked if I would speak, and I spoke at the banquet, which was amazing. Just a great honor and privilege to be able to preach and speak, and we're excited about that. But there's two separate tournaments, which was cool. And in our tournament that we were in, we took third place. That is right. We took third place. Shocking to all, man. It was amazing. And we had a blast. I was good for about a couple holes, and then my golf skill showed up. Man, I yelled for often. It was amazing, like in different people's ways. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a driving range right there, and my ball went into the driving range with like 1,000 other balls. I'm like, I'm just going to take a second. I'm going to find my ball. No, that would have been funny. But we certainly did laugh a lot, and it's wonderful to be a part of Family Life, and it's wonderful to be able to minister there. And just we had a great time. We laughed a lot. And we're excited about this upcoming concert, man. It's going to be fantastic. But come on, let's just get into this morning, man. I want to just share my heart. It changed a little bit. The message changed a little bit in the first service. And we're going to stay on that path for this service. I do have and you could turn with me to Psalm 139. I do have the privilege of speaking Wednesday night to our breakaway crew, the teenagers, and I'm excited about being able to speak to the teenagers. And I'm excited to as Jacob and I have talked, and Jacob is doing an amazing job. Jacob and Kyla, we're so excited about our youth leaders. And all of the volunteer youth leaders are just really, it's an amazing group. And the teenagers really love being there. And it's a great time of worship. It's a great time of ministry. They've been diving into Acts and breaking up Acts and doing their little study groups. And it's really been, it's been awesome. There's been 50 to 70 kids coming. And Breakaway has been truly amazing. It's been great. The one good thing about COVID is there's nothing else to do. So let's go to church. Come on. And with that, man, I'm honored to be able to speak Wednesday night. And just a part of that is realizing that I think in this whole COVID thing, and this morning's message is going to tie into this. This morning's message is a continuation of I Know He Knows. I mean, I've been blessed by people sending me texts and emailing me and different things just with I Know He Knows. And just really taking ownership of this. And we're going to speak on the omniscience of God. You have the omnipresence of God, which is God is everywhere all the time. And then you have the all-powerful God, which is God is all power. He can do all things. There's nothing difficult for him. Nothing is impossible for him. He is all-powerful. He contains all-powerful. He is all-powerful. Nothing is difficult for him. But today we're going to speak on the omniscience of God, that God is all-knowing. Omniscience means all knowledge, that he has knowledge about everything. God, watch this. This is so cool. God has never had to learn anything. God never had to read a book to figure something out. God never has ever asked a question that he didn't know the answer to from the foundations of the world. God is all knowledge. He knows everything. He knows yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He knew the foundation of the earth. He knew where we're at right now. He knows the exact season that we are in. And he knows what is tomorrow, next year. He knows 10 years from now if he would tarry. God knows it all, man. If he doesn't return, he's in charge of all things, man. He knows every inch of our timing. And what happens? What happens when we understand that? And that does something. Watch this. Watch this. It does something to our soul. It does something to our spirit when we understand the omniscience of God, that he is all knowledge. He knows everything. There's nothing that he doesn't know. Man, that should bring a dose of hope. That should bring a dose of confidence. That should bring a dose of joy. That should do something to our spirit to know, okay, if God knows, then I'm going to have to say everything's going to be okay. And I'm excited for even this morning. I'm excited to speak to the teenagers because the reality is this. I think of all people that have been hit through this season. Man, I think we're all in the same boat, man. It's just a confusing season. Man, it started in March and we're thinking, okay, maybe by April. Okay, how long are we going to have to do church online? It was 1 week, 2 week, 3 week, 4 week, 5 week, 6. Like, it was just like, okay, this thing's extending. New rules and regulations. Maybe it's going to end in March, April, May, June, maybe July, maybe by July 4th, man, everyone was hoping for July 4th. And then you went into the end of July and maybe even in August, like we're thinking it's got to get better. Maybe even we can do some sports and maybe we can do some college sports and maybe baseball is going to play and that's been fun. And we come to a place, honestly, you watch baseball, I'm tired of the little styrofoam people in the background, like, come on, I want to buy Renee's picture and put it right behind. That would be amazing. Honey, you're on TV. This is incredible. And all the fake cheering. I'm like, I can only do so much. But honestly, those are truly the little things compared to you and I who are truly adults and you and I who have our jobs. And obviously, there could be a financial hit, no question about it. There could be a rearranging of our lives as adults, but I believe this, please hear this. I think one of the biggest groups that have been impacted by this thing are the teenagers and our college students. Because you and me are in life and we've had our ups and downs and we've gone through difficult seasons in life and everybody experiences whatever that means for you as an adult. But when you have your high school kids, right? You have your teenagers and they've been in this place where they've been so excited for sports and they've been excited for their athletics and this is a growing season for them in school and they're excited about their buddies and their friends and they're excited about learning and there's this sense of what this has done to that teenage group where now you've got athletics and you've got now music and you've got now the arts, which are all vitally important, all canceled. And you come to this place going, listen, when you're in high school, you have this little bit of a sliver to be able to take part in all these things. And then all of a sudden, something that has been completely out of their control and absolutely not their fault has been ripped from them. And they're at a mindset of an age of maybe, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 in high school. And you're bummed for them. Listen, we as adults, our mindset is good. We get it. We'll get over it. We're going to move on eventually and get back into a place of balance. But when you're talking about teenagers in a place of having to deal with something that is not their fault and having to deal with something that is 100% out of their control. And then you look at the college age students and you have the college, which college is a whole nother ball game, man. You're graduating college and you're like, okay, this is my moment that I'm like a true adult, man. I'm like out of the house and I am in college and I've got my dorm room or I've got my townhouse and I'm just, it's time for me to be me and it's time for me to grow up and it's time for me to not be under mom and dad and watch this maturity thing happen and understand what it means to go and honestly be me. That college age is such an important age. Man, I was so excited. I went 9 hours away to Liberty University, man. I was so pumped to go to Liberty. I am out. I'm excited, raised in an amazing godly home, but I was juiced to say, I'm gone. I want to be me, man. I'm just going to be Sean. I'm going to Liberty University. I'm excited to get out of the house. I'm excited to grow. I'm excited to make my own decisions. There's something so important to that in college. But even the college age has been just so flipped upside backwards and sideways. And there's more rules and there's more regulations and you're like, this is not how it's supposed to be. This is not what I had thought. Man, again, I'm dealing with an age that you're just like, okay, we look at this, and us, you and I as adults, we're in this place. We've got our job. We've got our career. We've got our kids. It's amazing. But you think about where you were in high school, so excited for college, so excited to play on the baseball team in high school, so excited to have that football scene and the people in the crowds, and you're juiced about it, being on the field or being a cheerleader or being in the band or being in the sense of, man, this is my showcase. This is maybe you're in dance and it was your time to the dance recital, and all of that has been ripped away. And then you come to that place to be in high school and you're so excited. Man, I get to go to college, and I've been so looking forward to my college years and so looking forward to being independent and truly owning my independence and seeing what I'm made of. Because the times in college, you get to see what you're made of. And you look forward to that for your whole high school and then your senior year. And I'm hitting this on purpose, because what happens when we're in this season that you have to buy in to the biblical truth of his omniscience, to say, I know that he knows. I know that he knows. And this thing is out of my control. There's nothing that I can do about this thing. Watch this. Please hear me, church. When you know that there's nothing that you can do about this thing, the only thing you can do is what you need to do about you. If I can't control on the outside, I need to control on the inside. I need to control what I'm doing about this thing. And I have to come. Listen, I think that we're in a place where people need, come on, people need a good dose of hope. People are struggling. Man, I was up early this morning and I went through the Tim Hortons drive-thru and I have a friend there. Man, I've just kind of built this relationship through being a cop and just going to Tim Hortons and just spending some time there and having a blast through the drive-thru window. And they're very kind to us. Policemen at Tim Hortons, they're wonderful. But this morning was different, man. I came through early this morning and just started to have my friendly, upbeat conversation. I said, come on, man, how are you doing? And she just breaks down in tears at the drive-thru. Listen, when you know that there are people who just struggle, there are people who are just struggling in this. They don't have the hope of Christ. They can't go around and say, I know that he knows. I know it's going to be okay. I know that I'm going to be okay. I know that it's my responsibility to be light and to be salt and to be hope, that I am the hope bearer for people, to lead them to the source of hope, whom is Jesus. And you come to this place to realize, man, people are struggling and people are hurting in this season. What happens when you begin to get past yourself, when you begin to get past the boo-hooing in herself, when we come to a place to say there are very real people who don't know Christ, that can't tap in to that hope, can't tap in to that hope, can't tap into the joy, can't tap in to that peace, because they don't know that he knows. But I know that he knows. And in that, I'm going to walk in such a place in this season of life to be so much not about me, but be about those who just might have a smile on their face. And then all it takes, hey, how you doing? And me and my friend are going to get some coffee this week. I'm like, listen, I need you to get a hold of me. Here's how to get a hold of me, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to sit down, and we're just going to have a cup of coffee and talk. Come on, church, it's not that difficult. It's not that difficult. Man, I'm so excited even for Wednesday, man, to go in and speak life, I believe, to I think one of the ages, again, that high school age and that college age, that have gotten hit harder than anybody, in my opinion. And I'm not looking at people's businesses and finances. I'm looking at an emotional thing. I'm looking at a high expectation for what's next. Listen, when you're in high school, you have this high expectation of what's next. Man, I might hate school, but I look forward to football. I hated school. I was C at best, and I owned it. I owned my C+. Sean, you got a B. Celebration. My older brother, Todd, he was one of them genius dudes. Like, he didn't have to study or read. He was just like, oh, I got a 98, bummer. Oh, shut up, Todd. Like, legit, he'd be mad at a 98. I'd be jumping for joy at a C plus. It's called pass, bro. P. Come on. And he's just like, man, I got a 98. I should have got a 100 on that test. Todd, shut up. Like, move on. Like, legit. Like, even in college, man, college, summa cum laude, whatever that Italian means, like, best of the best. I don't even know what it means. It's like 98.9 or whatever his grade average was. My man didn't buy books. He'd borrow people's books in his class to study the night before, and he'd be blowing 98s on tests. I'm like, Todd, shut up. Move on. But you come to a place to where what I had to look forward to was my friends, and you had to look forward to your football and your baseball, and I was on the swim team. The football coach said, hey, let's get the football team in the pool for the swim team. That was a big mistake. Dude, we didn't care about swimming, but we cared about killing each other in the pool. Like, a bunch of football players in the pool. Like, we ain't doing laps, coach. We're just here to tackle each other. Let's just do this, right? It was amazing. But those were the things you look forward to. And by no mistake of their own, and by absolute no control of their own, they came to a place that so much has been stripped to that age in the college age. So I'm excited about Wednesday. I'm pumped and just prayed up and ready to really go in to encourage them once again to know that God knows, and God knows how to get you through. And what happens when you don't focus on you and you actually focus on the opportunity? Church, this is for all of us now, that we focus on the opportunity that we've been given for the hurt and broken people that are all around us. And maybe you're here this morning and say, Sean, I'm in that boat, man. I'm a mess. I'm a mess. Then this is why we're here. We don't come in just to play church, man. We don't come in to check a box on a Sunday and say, I did my thing. We're here to experience the one true living God, and by his Spirit, he can move in such a way, in a powerful way this morning, that we walk out healed. We walk out different. We walk out full. We walk out once again full of hope. We walk out once again full of joy. We walk out once again with a purpose and a plan to know, God, it ain't about me, and I am energized, and I'm full once again to be able to show people hope and be able to cast peace on people in such a way that I would be contagious in my joy. I would be contagious in my peace, that God is going to do a great work. Come on, I want to see this. I want to see this. Psalm 139. If you're there, I want to look at Psalm 147 real quick. It'll be up on the screen. I want you to see it, because there's something very real about understanding to the peace that we can understand. We can only go so far in our little minds to understand that God Almighty is omniscient, that God Almighty, he is all-knowing. He knows everything. That's hard to swallow at times, right? To really understand that. And I love this, Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is the Lord and abundant in strength, for his understanding is infinite. The word infinite is, it is without measure. You and I cannot measure the understanding of God. You and I can't ever come to the end of all that God knows, because he knows everything. He is all-knowing. Great is our Lord. This abundant in strength and his understanding, the depth of his knowledge is infinite. Man, it is from beginning to end, and we can never get to the depths of it. That's omniscience of God, all-knowing God. Right? When you understand the all-knowing God, you understand that there's nothing that he doesn't know. He knows my today. He knew the very moment that I was born. He knows my tomorrow. He knows the very moment that I will breathe my last. God knows it all. There's nothing that he doesn't know. I know that he knows. And in that, I'm building a confidence, man. In that, I can say everything's going to be okay. How can you say that? Because I know the one who knows. Come on, Isaiah 55 says this. I want you to see this. This is so good. Isaiah 55, 8, and 9. And when we can buy on this, right? When we can back on this, this is what God says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And when you come to a place saying, listen, it's time for me to buy into the way that God is doing something. It's time for me to say, God, you see it all. You know the way. Your way is not my way. I'm going to do it your way. Because my way doesn't seem to work. God, I want to walk into place to do it your way. Come on. I love this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, Nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. And we can come to a place to lower our pride and come to a place to know you don't know it all and come to a place to say, God, I want to do it your way. I don't want to do it my way. God, your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And when I try to do it my way, I miss. We come to a place to say, God, I just want to understand and come to a place to settle in my spirit that your way is the truly the only way and it's higher than my way. Right? When you come to a place to realize we're going to do it God's way. When you come to a place to realize what it really means to say, God, your ways are higher than my ways. And I say this all the time. If you're going to do marriage, please hear me. If you're going to do marriage, you have a 100% chance of success if you do it God's way, because he's the one who created the blueprint. His ways are higher than your way. Yeah, but I'm going to try this. Not going to work. Yeah, but I'm going to live with someone first. That's not going to work. No, why? I'm going to date him. I know that he's not a Christian, but not going to work. Please hear me. You will marry somebody you date. Can somebody say amen? You know how many times I hear that honestly? Well, my first question is, does he love Jesus? Or does she love Jesus? Man, I'm in this relationship. Or who are you dating right now? I love to ask questions. Where are you at right now? And again, knowing his ways are not our ways. You come to this place saying, who are you dating? Oh, I'm dating Johnny. Oh, that's great. Does Johnny know Jesus? Well, no, but I'm like, Well, what am I supposed to do? Boop. Why? Because his ways are not your ways. Yeah, but he's so wonderful. Boop. But he's so nice to me. Boop. Does he know Jesus? Well, no, but. Because watch this. We're going to read Psalm 139 here in a minute. When you understand the reality that he is omniscient and he knows everything. And when you come to a place to say, I want to do it his way and not my way. That's where we gain some ground. When you try to do it your way, that's when we find ourselves in a desperate place of trouble. A desperate, desperate place of trouble. Come on, Psalm 139, look at this. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path. That means to comprehend or to see. You see my path. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. I want you to see this. This is so good. Here, this is David, and he's speaking this psalm, and he's come to a place to say, listen, oh, Lord, watch this. Oh, Lord, you have searched me, and you have known me. Come on, what happens when you and I understand the absolute great, vast power and knowledge of God and say, God, you have searched me, and God, you have known me. You know me, God. Isn't it amazing that God set up this whole thing called life in him so that he could have a relationship with you, so that he may know you? Church, what happens when you get past the religion part? You get past doing it your way part. You get past just the church part. You get past the tithes and offerings part. And you get past the do's and don'ts part. And you come to this place where David was. He said, listen, you search me and you know me. What happens when you know that you have a God who knows you? He knows everything about you. He knows the very moment that you were conceived. He knows the very moment that you were brought into this world. He knows the very moment that you will pass. He knows everything about you. He knows your hurts. He knows your pains. He knows your struggles. He knows what you're hiding. You can come to a place. Hey, come on, how you doing? Man, my friend this morning could have said, I'm great. Ha! Today's a great day. And we dance in the lilies like we're a bunch of fairies when life is just absolutely breaking apart. But you know who knows? You know who knows? Because we can fake it real good. We can fake it real good. But when you come to a place to say, I know that you know me, I can't fake it with you, God. I can't hide anything from you. You know my pain, and you know my struggle, and you know my hurt, and you know my brokenness. Even when no one else sees it, when I put on a great face, smiled a lot, people ask, and I just say, I'm fine. No, I've had a great week. It was amazing. Man, work is good. Family's good. Business, woo! Yeah, but how's your soul? Because I don't know, but you got to know who knows. When the psalmist here, some David is saying, listen, Lord, you have searched me. God, you know me. I can't hide anything from you. What happens? Watch this. Please hear this. What happens when we stop playing hide and seek with a God who knows everything? What happens in a moment, even in a moment today, that you can come to a place and say, I'm done hiding from God, because God knows everything about me. He knows my struggle. He knows what I'm hiding from everybody else. He knows the pain that no one else knows, but I've tried to play this game with God to say, I'm going to hold this in, God. I'm not going to talk to you about it. I'm not going to release it to you. I'm not going to give it over to you. What does the Bible say? Cast all your care on me. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast, that means to throw. This is the Lord speaking. Cast all your care on me because I care for you. And man, when you look at this first verse, you got David. He says, oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. There's this closeness there. There's this openness there. When we have to, please hear me, BC, we've got to get past the religious side of anything here. We've got to get past the do's and don'ts. We've got to get past the angry God look. We've got to come to a place to say, God loves me. He cares for me. He searched me and he knows me. And he's not playing hide and seek. And I got to come to a place to be wide open before the Lord. And I'm not saying wide open before man. I'm saying you become wide open in your spirit before the Lord so that he can come in and do some amazing work on your soul, some amazing work on your spirit and on your heart. And not just come to this place with that fake smile on our face to say, I'm good. Because I know this, that this is a season. Unless we deal with it ourselves and come to a place to deal with what's on the inside before a true loving God, that we deal with it, what's going on, man, we will just get swallowed up in this season. I have tried to stop watching news. I don't watch a whole lot of news. Haven't for a long time, and I'm doing less now because it is just, people get so sucked in and it wrecks their spirits. It wrecks their souls. Have you found yourself and all you do is talk about the negative? But you come to a place to say where David is. He says, oh Lord, you have searched me and you've known me. Watch this. You know, here it is, the omniscience of God. You know when I sit. You know when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. I love that. You understand my thoughts. God, you from afar, you know my thoughts before I ever think them. What? Before you even had a thought, God knew your thoughts. Try to put that into our brain, right? Like, okay, God, I just had a thought, but oh, you knew that thought before I had that thought. Like, you knew I was going to think before I actually thunk. Is that a word, thunk? I thunk it. C+, folks, work with me. That's funny. I'm funny. I think I'm funny. And again, you come to a place to try to dive into that we think and we think and we think and we think and we plan and we think and we plan, but to know that we serve an omniscient God who knows our thoughts before we do. Watch what he says. I love the depth of the omniscience of God here. He says this, you understand my thoughts from afar. You comprehend, you scrutinize my path. You comprehend, you see my path, and you see my lying down. I love this. You know when I sit, you know when I rise, you know my thoughts before I do. You see the path that I'm on. You know when I'm lying down. Here it is. Watch this. Are they intimately acquainted with all my ways? You are intimately acquainted with all my ways. God, you know me. You know who I really am. And you, and listen, the intimacy between a husband and a wife is a beautiful, special thing. And here, this is talking about that closeness. It's talking about that relationship where David had that relationship with the Lord. He had that relationship with God. He understood the intimacy of God, the friendship of God, the closeness of God. And here, he knew that. Watch this. This is great. That intimately acquainted with all my ways. You know everything about me. You know when I sit. You know when I lie. You know my path. You know when I stand. You know when I rise up. You know everything about me before I do. Come on, how about a God who says, I know you more than you know you. I knew you before you were born. I knew you before the foundation of the world. I know exactly when the last breath will take place. Watch this. He says this. Even before there was a word on my tongue, behold, Lord, you know it all. What happens when we can come into Psalm 139 and try to see the depth of God who is omniscient, the depth of God who has all knowledge, to say, God, okay, first of all, you know the thought that I'm going to think before I think it, and then you know the words that I'm going to speak before I even speak them. What happens when you and I truly begin to realize God knows everything. There's nothing. There's nothing that he doesn't know. And even in the season that we are in right now, here we go. Even in the season that we are in right now, you come to a place. Say, God, I know you know this season. And in that, God, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to trust in you. We talked about faithfulness last week. God, I know that you are faithful. I know that you are loyal. I know this. And God, in this, I'm going to be okay. It's not like God missed. It's not like God has fell asleep. We have a God who doesn't sleep. He doesn't grow tired. He doesn't slumber. He knows it all. He doesn't ever grow tired. And you and I come to a place to say, God, I know that you know exactly what's going on right now. And I am belonging to you. And God, you intimately know my path. God, you know the words I'm going to speak before I speak them. Watch this. You have enclosed me behind and before, and you laid your hand upon me. Watch this. Here it is. Here's verse 6. This is amazing. He says this, and such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Even David, who is a man after God's own heart, even David, who's given us so much in Scripture. David's a big deal, right? David's a big deal in Scripture. And even David, who the Holy Spirit used to write Scripture so that you and I could have this amazing taste of praise and worship. You and I could have this amazing understanding of him as a king, him who would follow God with his whole heart. Watch this. He says, listen, all of this is just, it's too much for me. To understand that you are a God who knows when I sit, you're a God who knows when I rise, you're a God who knows when I walk, you're a God who knows when I lie down, you're a God who is so intimately connected to me, that you're a God who knows my thoughts before I think them, you're a God who knows my words before I speak them. He said, this is too much for me. And that can be overwhelming, that we can come to a place to say, it's just too much for me, so I'm just going to put it on a shelf. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I can't understand it. It's way beyond my understanding. But what happens when you can say it's, watch this. What happens when you can say it's beyond my understanding, but I trust it's true. I trust that it's true. God, you know my next job. God, you know where the finances are going to come from. God, I don't, but I trust that you do. God, you know what's going to take place in an interview. God, you know what's going to take place with my kids. And as, listen, I'm a parent of a 22-year-old. He's doing amazing. I'm a parent of a 20-year-old. She's doing amazing. Works here at the church. You saw her right over here. This is amazing. She usually stands right here. There's a T that she's supposed to stand on. And then she gets dancing and twirling and moving. And they're doing great. And then you have my 14-year-old who's doing great. But it's that sense of high school and that sense of things have been flipped upside down. Even as a parent, you're just like, God, I don't like this. I don't know what's happening, but I have to trust. As a dad, I have to trust that you know. And come on, let me talk to the parents just for a minute, because you're parents of your kids, and you come to a place where is your encouragement to them? And where is it that you come to a place, watch this, you come to a place to begin to speak life into your kids and into your teens, saying, listen, this is completely out of our control. We didn't ask for this. We didn't want this. We didn't cause this. There's nothing we can do about this. This is what we can do. You deal with what's inside of you, that you need to be confident and to know that God knows, that God, even through all of this, has a plan for my 14-year-old to come to a place to be salt and light in school, to walk in a place to not be the grumbler, not be the complainer, to be the one to put his head back, chest out, say, God's got a plan. Man, God can move in such a powerful way. Man, my hope is not in the current circumstance. My hope is the one true living God, and I know that he knows. Come on, amen? Come on, you and I come to a place to begin to understand our role and our position in this thing. Let there be a confidence come to your spirit. Let hope come back to your spirit. Say, God, you're in charge. God, when everything's out of control, you're not. And I'm reminded again this morning that, God, you are omniscient. God, you are all-knowing. You have all knowledge. You know everything. You know exactly what's taking place. You didn't fall asleep. You didn't go on vacation. You're intimately, watch this, you're intimately involved in my life. See, watch this. Then he goes over to verse 13, and this is so powerful. I need to get through this because I want you to hear this. We're not going to get to Isaiah 46 next week. Verse 13 says this. I love, watch where David is, man. Watch where David is. He says, and you formed my inward parts, and you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I will give thanks to you. God, listen, I know that you knew the exact moment that I would be born. August 15th, 1969. There's an exact moment, an exact time, in a particular moment, in a particular place, through a particular couple, Leonard and Jenny Obergefell, and at a particular time, to the exact moment that God knew, it's time. And David got it, man. He said, listen, you knew me in my mother's womb. You formed me. You wove me together. Come on, church, what happens when you and I come to a place? Let me just speak to a group this morning. That you come to a place and you and I begin to deal with our insecurities. You and I begin to understand, listen, God wove me together. Ephesians 2:10 says, man, he handcrafted me. He put me together. Man, he wove me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I love that. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. But he says this, I will give thanks. There's the kick. I will give thanks because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, for wonderful are your works, and my soul knows very well. Come on, church, would I like to be taller? I am 5'11". Some of you are like, no, you're not. Renee's like, you are not. My license, New York State, says I am 5'9". Renee's like, you're 5'8½". I said, please, woman, I am 5'9". Man, I got blue eyes. She's like, you've got hazel eyes. When I wear blue, my eyes are blue. So, but the reality is, you come to a place, no matter how tall you are, no matter how short you are, no matter what color skin you have, no matter what your race is, no matter what nation you've come from. By the way, the Bible wasn't written for America. We know that, right? We know that, right? But what happens, we look at this, and you and your person, and all of us can deal with some insecurities. You and your person can say, wait a minute, for I know that he knew, and he formed me in my own parts, and he wove me together in my mother's womb, and I will give thanks. Red, yellow, black, brown, or white, whatever your skin color is, we come to a place to say, I will give thanks, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. Wonderful are your works. For watch it, here it is. My soul knows that God caused me to be 5'8½", according to my bride. God has caused me to have hazel eyes. God has given me the head that I have no hair. That's on him, and I like it, by the way. My chick, she digs it, so I'm good. Renee loves my head. Praise the Lord. Bill knows. My man Coolidge knows. But honestly, 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 what are the things? Can I ask you a deep question? And what are the things that you've questioned about yourself? God, I'm not smart enough. I'm not like this person. We play the comparison game. Come on, parents, let me just speak real quick, man. We got bounced, but let me just talk to the parents real quick because you come to a place. What is it that you're speaking into your kids? You know how damaged kids can be? You know how many people say, come on, man, you need to be smart as your brother. Come on, come on, your brother's more athletic. Your sister's so much smarter. You need to be like. Hey, come on, dummy. Come on, why are you so stupid? Why can't you get this right? Hey, mom and dad, what is it that you're putting into your kids? What is it, these seeds that you're dropping in your kids that you're causing these insecurities when God Almighty says, I know what I'm doing. Man, they're supposed to be that size. They're supposed to be that height. They're supposed to be looking exactly like that. They're supposed to have the exact hair. Matter of fact, I've counted every hair on their head. I got this. Come on, I've given them that mindset that they have for my purpose and my glory. You think it's all about ABCs, but they have the most creative side to them that the ABCs aren't going to matter. The 1, 2, 3s, it is that creative piece that God has set in your child that's going to make them whomever they're going to be for the glory and purpose of God. So we come to this place. Honestly, we come to this place to look and say, does my soul, what is it? What is it? What is it that's right in the way of allowing my soul to say, my soul knows it very well. And I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It's not a bragging point. I am who I am. And God made me the size that I am. He gave me the feet, 11-inch feet. God gave me these feet. He gave me my lips, hips, and fingertips, man. He gave me my eye color. That was his plan and his purpose. And you come to a place and say, I'm going to own it, man. I'm going to own it. What happens when you own it to say, no, 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 no. My soul is good. My soul knows. But why? Because I know that he knows. And when I know the creator of the heavens and the earth had a plan for me in a particular moment, in a particular time, in a particular place, for the exact time that he brought you into this world, you come to a place to say, God, I am yours. And everything, man, there's a change that's taking place in my soul because I know that he knows. I'm not the smartest. I know that. Don't try to be. I know that. I'm okay with that. And you just come to this place. Even in this moment today, you could get to a place to say, I need my soul to know. That God made me. He created me from my mother's womb. He's got a purpose and a plan for me. And then we get into this. This is amazing. Watch this. For your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me. When as yet there was not one of them. Which means when you understand and believe, God, you know every day that you have had a plan for me and you have ordained this exact season and this exact time and this exact moment where God knew from the foundations of the world that this COVID thing would come. God says, Sean, I put you here on purpose. I knew you would be at the same season that this COVID thing. I knew that. There's a plan for that. Sean, guess what? I know the exact moment, the exact millisecond that you breathe your last. I know that. And every day from the day you're born that I knew that I ordained to the very moment that you breathe your last that I knew that I've ordained. And every day in between, there is a purpose and a plan for you, for my glory. I know that he knows. I know that he knows. What happens when you and I come to a place to understand God did not make a mistake? I'm not a mistake. Some of you have been told you're a mistake. Man, parents are just down with their words. And you come to a place, say, no, God made me fearfully and wonderfully. Man, I'm the clay and he is the potter. And he's handcrafted me and put me together. I know that he knows. And we come to a place, watch this. Here it is. And I got to share, man, this is, we close with this. We look at verse 17 and 18 and we look at a place, and I got to tell you this, Psalm 139, this has been such a chapter for me that when I grew up in an amazing godly home, about 11 years old, man, I gave my life to Christ, walked an aisle, understood the cross, amazing, incredible. But man, when I got into high school, I started doing it my way. When I went to college, man, I started doing it my way. Went to Liberty University, my way wasn't their way. So they said, Sean, it would be best in your interest It would be in your best interest to leave this campus. I think that would be in my best interest not to return. I agree with you. Because I was doing it my way. And there was a moment when I was about 21, 22 years old. I found the most amazing woman on the planet in Renee. Had this amazing dating relationship. But then it was this point of a brokenness of me and my heart before the Lord to know I have done it my way. And there is that moment, that breaking point, to realize how much God loves you. Sean, I have known you. Sean, I have formed you. Sean, I have a plan for you. Sean, I have a purpose for you. And my loving kindness for you has never ended. You think God didn't know everything that I would do? Didn't you think God didn't know that I would do it my way in high school? I would do it my way in college? And there's that just moment, and I'll never forget it. I'm on my living room floor. And I'm just in this broken place. God, your love for me, and I was overwhelmed by his love, and I was overwhelmed by his patience and his kindness towards me. When you understand the long suffering of God, and I'm one who knew, grew up in an amazing home. And you come to this place. Where even Psalm 139 just kind of broke me because I read this. How precious also are your thoughts to me. How vast is the sum of them. For if I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. And when I awake, I'm still with you. And to know that we have a God who has such a great love and such a deep love for you and for me, that we come to a place to say, God, you actually think about me more than there are the sands. You mean I'm on your mind? That much, like, listen, when you go to the beach and you pick up one handful of sand, you can't count how much sand is in your hand. And then you look around at just that one beach and think, man, how much sand could be on this beach? And then you think of the other multiple beaches that you can't see. You think, man, how much sand could be on this beach? And then you think about the sand that's just in that state, wherever you're at. And then you think about the sands in the Caribbean. And then you come back to this, where God's making a point and says, Sean, you're always on my mind. Sean, I have thought about you. I have created you. I know you. I knew the moment and the purpose. You were born for a very reason and a purpose for this lifetime right now. What, you think this corona thing was a surprise to him? I think every crisis that ever takes place, that God said, yep, Sean will be good for this crisis. Yep, you'll be good for this crisis. Bill will be good for this crisis. And boom, I'm going to have them born in this century, this day, in this time. And then that's going to happen so many years later, 50 years later, there's going to be this. But come on, when you know that he knows, and to know, God, you think about me. If I take up a handful of sand, and then I think about all the sands on the shore, And God is making a very real point. Say, Sean, I think about you. Sean, I love you. And I'm with you. I know that he knows. And I want that to bring a confidence to your spirit. I want that to bring a confidence to your soul. That you would come to a place this morning, right here, right now. You come to a place to say, God, this is just a wreck of a season, man. This is not how I saw it going. This is not my high school days. This is not my college days. This is so different than anything that I had ever thought was going to take place. God, it's not anything that I thought would happen. But God, I know that you know, and we need to deal with it today. Man, if you could just bow your heads with me just for a moment. Katie's going to sing, and I want us to really honestly come to a place to do business today. Man, wherever you're at in this, please. Know that he knows. And maybe you are here for such a time as this. Maybe you're in college for such a time as this, even though it is not what you thought. Maybe you're in high school for such a time as this. His purpose, his plan, for his glory. Now, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God is the creator of mankind. God created me. He knew me in my mother's womb. And when I was born, it wasn't a mistake. What happens when you understand that? And I'm just asking us in this moment, right now, in this moment, right here, today, right now, cast all your care on him because he cares for you. You come to a place to understand this. Say, God, it's in this moment. It's in this moment right now that I'm going to deal with my insecurities. In this moment right now, I'm going to deal with this self-struggle. In this moment right now, come on. We need to be done with depression. We need to be done with anxiety. We need to be done with fear. We need to make a decision on this, going, God, you put me in this exact place, in this exact time, in this exact moment right now for your purpose and for your will and for your glory, and it's time to deal with some things. Yeah, man, I put on that smile long enough. Man, I faked it long enough. It's time to do some real deal with the Lord. And it's time to come to a place this morning. Honestly, come on, get this, to know, God, wonderful are your works in my soul. It's my soul. It's my soul that knows it very well. And if your soul doesn't know it well this morning, man, come on, let me encourage you. Let there be something that would take place that only his spirit can do this morning. That we walk out of this place, say, man, there is a transfer in my soul that I know God has created me. God has made me. God has a plan for me. I know that he knows in the midst of this crazy season. I didn't ask for it. I didn't want it. It's out of my control. I didn't cause it. But in the midst of this season, I know that he knows, and he still has a plan for me. He still has a purpose for me, and it is for his glory, and it is for his purpose. And in that, I need to know that my soul knows very well. And in that, everything's going to be okay. Come on, where are you in this? Man, I love our young adults, and I love our high school students, our college students, to just own this today. Own this today. You didn't ask for it. This whole season's out of your control, but own it, own it, own it. Man, if you're a parent in this place and you're concerned for your kids, you come to a place to say, God, I know that you know. I trust that you truly are our omniscient. I trust that you know what I'm thinking before I think. You know what I speak before I speak. You know when I sit. You know when I rise. You know when I lie down. You know. You are the one who intimately knows me. You know who I really am. Father, we just come to you in this moment just to cry out to you wherever we're at, God. And please, BC, wherever you're at this morning, wherever you're at in this message, you come to a place to say, God, it's going to be okay. Use me. God, let's be done with me boo-hooing. Let's be done with this. Not fair for me, and it's not right for me. Let's be done, and let's come to a place saying it's time to have that switch. It's time to switch this, saying, God, I know that you know, and in that you have a plan for me in the midst of all the crazy. How do I serve you? How do I serve others? How do I walk in a place to be salt and light? How do I walk in a place to be the bearer of hope so that others can see hope? Let my hope be contagious in Jesus. Let my joy be contagious in Jesus. Let my peace be contagious in Jesus. I'm done with the boo-hoo, and I'm done with the complaining. I'm done with the grumbling. God, it's time to realize that you knew this very moment, in this very day, in this very hour. You knew it, God, altogether. And we come to a place to say it's time for a shift. God, let me not make it about me, but let me make it about the hurting and broken who don't have the hope of Christ. Now, if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, man, I just want to encourage you. God Almighty, he loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son to die for you. And we know, man, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every person who's ever breathed except Jesus has swam in the same pond of sin. No one's better, no one's worse. And we needed a Savior, and Jesus Christ came to save. Number one, we admit our sin. Number two, we believe in Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. Jesus said, I'm it. I'm the only way. And see, the Bible says to confess that he is Lord. Make an agreement that I surrender. I surrender in this moment right now. Come to a place to say, I surrender. Jesus, save me. Forgive me. You died for me. I believe it. You were raised from the dead. I believe it. I confess that you are Lord. And I call on your name to be saved. In Jesus' name. Come on, if we would stand to our feet, please. Katie's going to sing and we're out. And I just want you to take a minute in this song and say, it's time to deal. God, encourage my soul. Let's bring some hope to our soul this morning. Come on, amen.